Good morning. Today is the second Sunday of Advent, and today we talk about this idea of announcement, annunciation. In the Christmas story, the angel shows up to Mary and proclaims to her what God was about to do in her life and in the world. Last week, we talked about how God came. He came to earth. And today, we're going to talk about why he became. And he became three characters that we are going to explore this morning. But I would love to start by reading to you Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6. Which is part of the fulfillment of the annunciation and the proclamation that the angel brought to Mary. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lay down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fatted calf together, and a little child shall lead them all. This is a message that God has proclaimed in the life of Mary, in our lives, that God of peace would be among his people. See, God's desire is to reveal himself to his children, to you and I. He have, throughout the biblical story, chosen to reveal himself in some surprising and very unexpected ways. Can you remember the last time you had this experience with God where God revealed himself to you? It could be as simple as this one story of mine that I have. In 2007, I was in Lincoln, Illinois, and I was driving home at night, and I saw a little star falling from the sky. And at that time, the star falling, I just felt that overwhelmed. That I had an overwhelming feeling just falling upon me. I parked the car on the side of the road, and I started to pray, and I started to pray and to cry profusely, like nonstop, because God was speaking to me at that moment. God, his desire is to reveal himself to you and I. And he does that in surprising ways and in times that we don't even expect. There is a poem that I would like to read for you this morning. So that really emphasizes this idea that God came and that he became and that he's revealing himself to you and I. Now, I need to prepare you a little bit because me, Sam Rosa, and reading poems just don't go together, all right? I can barely read English as it is. Can you imagine me trying to make sense of a poem, right? I understand the lyrics, but like reading, it doesn't work. Rhyming is hard. It's really hard. I was trying to rhyme at home the other day, and I was trying to rhyme with Caleb's name. Caleb, my middle son, Caleb, tub, shrub. They all rhyme, don't you think? Right? So as I started saying like Caleb, tub, shrub, and everybody like, whoa, 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 what are you trying to do? I'm trying to rhyme. Like, no, it doesn't rhyme shrub with Caleb. I was like, of course it does. Caleb, shrub. There you go. Enjoy a non-rhyming poem. All right? There you go. A shout of joy and peace, born to every race by your star. The wise will know you. East and west, their homage show you. Look into your face, shout of joy and peace. Born among the poor on a stable floor, cold and raw, you know your hunger, weep and tears and cry your anger. Yet, you tell us more, born among the poor, every child needs bread until the world is fed. You give bread, your hands unable all together around one table. Christmas must be shared, every child needs bread. Son of poverty, shame on us till we see self-concern. How we deny you, by our greed we crucify you on a Christmas tree, son of poverty. I think what this the Isaiah 11, what this poem tells us is that God came in some unexpected ways to you and I. And the first way that I want to talk to you about how Jesus came, he came as a refugee. In the second chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, we read a story of the trip that his family took from Bethlehem into Egypt, in which after the birth of Jesus and the visit of the Magi, and the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream and warned him, leave Bethlehem and go to Egypt. I have a message for you reading here, Matthew chapter 2, verses 12 to 15 from the Message Bible, and says this: in a dream, they, the Magi, were warned not to report to Herod. So they worked out another route. They left the territory without being seen and returned to their own country. After the scholars were gone, God's angel showed up, revealed himself again in Joseph's dream, and commanded, get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt. Stay until further notice. Herod is on the hunt for this child and wants to kill him. Joseph obeyed. He got up, took the child and his mother under cover of darkness. They were out of town and well on their way by daylight. They lived in Egypt until Herod's death. This Egyptian exile fulfilled what Hosea the prophet had preached. I called my son out of Egypt. Wow, Jesus himself, a refugee. Have you ever noticed that? And have you ever asked the question, why? Why would Jesus come and take on a form of a refugee? Because King Herod was wanting to kill him, was planning to seek out and destroy Jesus. Mary and Joseph do live along with Jesus, and according to Matthew, they make their way to Egypt. Afterwards, as we read in the story, King Herod killed all the children in Bethlehem under the age of 2. What a dramatic event. Can you imagine? The mom, the parents crying the death of their child. There is nothing more dramatic than seeing a family being forced to flee their homeland for fear of persecution and death. Jesus is not out of touch with the world in which we live today. Jesus did face the same difficulties that most people face in the world in which we live. Reality is, in one way or another, we are all refugees. We are all living life on earth. And we know that we are not from this place. We are called and we are citizens of a different place called the kingdom of God. You and I, we are like Jesus, refugee, living in this world. But Jesus didn't only come as a refugee. He not only came and became a refugee, he also became poor. If it were up to you and I, if it were up to us, we could live anywhere and be born. If we could choose where we would live, where we would be born, which social class we would be born at, we would probably choose a beautiful home and a family with a very crazy rich, and had like a lot of money and a great saving accounts and banking accounts. I mean, if I had to choose a family to be born, I want to choose someone who has a ton of money, who have a house in the ocean. Wouldn't that be great? I mean, instead of making snowmen, I'll be making sandmen, right? Of course, but we didn't have any choice on the family that we were born. We were born into it. We didn't have that choice. That's one of the choices we can't make. But let me tell you this, God did. He had that choice. God could have chosen to be born to the head of the state, to the head of the synagogue, to a Roman important influential person, to a respected high priest. But instead of being born to influential rich people, God chose to be born to a hard-working carpenter guy, family, and his wife, young wife. Joseph and Mary were regular folks like you and I. They lived simple life. Probably, most likely, they lived, managed paycheck through paycheck like most of us do. They weren't influential people. They didn't have a house in the ocean or a sizable checking account. Some would even say that they were poor. If you compare Jesus Christ and where he came from and how he came to earth and the family that he lived, we could all agree to one thing that is definitely a big downgrade. See, here's the thing about God's heart and who God is and what his intentions are, is that God is not interested in how much you have or how influential you are. Let me say that again. God is not interested in how much you have or how influential you are. God is not interested in what you can offer him. He's interested if you are willing to be part of his plan for humankind, if you're willing to join him in his dream for humanity, for creation. We talked about last week how the angel showed up to Mary and she said yes to God. And here we see once again that God is not interested about how much you have or how much influence you have or the powers that you might have. He's interested to know, are you willing to say yes to his plan as Joseph and Mary did? God, he came and he became a refugee and a poor individual. But not only that, a child. A child. I mean, we read this passage all the time and we take it for granted because we do this often, right? I'm 37 years. By now, I have been reading this at least once a year for 37 years. We know the story, right? And we take it for granted. So we read it, a child is like, well, what a big deal. And I think there's a lot more to this. If we ask the question, why a child? Why a child? There's another poem, so embrace yourselves there, by Sam Gutierrez. I love this little poem. It is fantastic. It says this: God always kept his word, though in ways sometimes unexpected, they thought through the possibilities. Would he glow at night? Would he cry ancient wisdom? Would gravity hold him down? Were Mary and Joseph relieved or perhaps a little disappointed when out of her womb came a child so normal? Right, when Jesus came, he was a child like you and I was born, you know, and he needs to grow in wisdom and stature, as the Bible tells us in Luke, in the Gospel of Luke. Why a child? Have you ever asked yourself that? God could have shown up on earth as a full-grown man, full of authority and fame, rich with all the things that comes with it. Yet, he chooses to come as a vulnerable, helpless child. As you say that, some people would say, well, Jesus came as a child because of the prophecies, to fulfill what was prophesied. And after all, there are many prophecies in the Bible about the Messiah coming as a child. And so it's kind of help us to figure out that Jesus is a child, right? To know that people talk about this child that's going to be born and then to match it up with Jesus, I mean, it helps it out a little bit too. It helps us discern who he was. Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14, talks about these prophecies. I would love to read two of these prophecies for you. Isaiah 7:14, it is up there for you. It says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us, God who came and became. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 also tells us about the prophecy of a child to be born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I mean, this prophecy talks about what was God about to do and how it would come about through the life of a child. But I do think that there is a lot more to this story. And so let me give you something special from me to you to think about it. A baby represents so much. For anyone who has had a child, who have experienced the birth of a child, knows that birth is a miracle. A miraculous occurrence happening. I mean, I say this often, like, you don't know what love is until you have a child. It just kind of, it kind of takes love to a whole nother level. It is a great surprise. What was once nothing, it is forming the womb because God breathed life. Breathes life into the womb and life bursts out. That life grows in the belly and swells up and with the hope and the promise of a new baby. For me, babies represent life. Babies represent lives. Newness, hope, future, a second chance, a new beginning, opportunity, freshness, God's promise for today, tomorrow, and far beyond. When you look at in a baby, that's what you see. You see the hope of a big and better future. Jesus, in his first advent and his first coming, provides just that for all of us. It provides life. It provides newness. It provides hope. It provides a better future, a new future, a second chance, a new beginning, opportunity. To start over again, opportunity to see God's promises being fulfilled in your life today, tomorrow, and far beyond. I don't know how your year have gone. For me, it was a long fought year, a difficult year in many ways. Maybe you find yourself tired and at times hopeless, and maybe you fell in so many areas of your life like I did, and you come to the end of the year and you're thinking like, wow, what a waste. Maybe that's not your story, but that's definitely mine. I have fell in so many ways as a father this year. I remember this year yelling at my son in the soccer field. Yelling and yelling, and the parents, and when I came to myself, I looked all around, and the parents were looking at me like, I'm not that kind of daddy. I remember that day feeling like, man, I just failed my kid. I just failed as a parent today. Maybe you have failed professionally. Maybe you have failed as a husband, as a mother, as a wife. Maybe it was financially. Maybe you had a project at work that was given to you and you were not able to accomplish, and you feel tired and you feel hopeless, and life is just taking the breath out of you. I want you to remember that Jesus' first advent, that he coming as a child, is a reminder for you and I that our baby teaches us that God have a new life, a new beginning for you. Jesus coming in a child reminds us that there is a new beginning. That God has something new for you. That what was hopeless now can become hopeful because God is in the process. And that who didn't have any future now can have a future because God came and he became and he is for you. God, it is a God of newness, of hope, of future, of second chances, of new beginnings, of opportunities, of good, prosper promises. God is a God of today, of tomorrow, and far beyond into eternity. It doesn't matter how much you fell this year. What matters is the God who saw you failing. It is the God who upholds you high and makes you prosper in the future. You have a baby that came to remind you that there's always, always new life with God. There's always a better future. God. And that's why I believe is one of the reasons why Jesus came as a child. To remember that the proclamation of the angel was not in vain. It was for you and I to remember that God came and he became so that you could become children of God. Let me pray, Father.